Hi, welcome. This is audio number 3 in the Jumpstart Your Job Search Home Study Program with Create Your Career Path and HallieCrawford.com. My name is Darcy Holoweski, Certified Career Coach and author of the program. And this audio is titled Resume Writing. So we're going to be talking in this program about the resumes that you create and creating effective resumes for your job search. You already went over cover letters, and so you already have sort of a jump start in terms of what you need to do for your resume. And you'll find that different things that you created and prepared for your excellent cover letter will be used in your resume as well. The resume is a more cut and dry version of your experience, education, and skills. It's not going to change as much between resume to resume that you send out for different jobs as your cover letter does. So you can breathe a sigh of relief about that. You won't have to change the resume quite as much. You will use, however, the items that you highlighted in your cover letter, you will use them at a certain point in your resume, so those will change from job to job. And also, I'm going to show you in this audio program and in the workbook, we go over a couple of different types of resumes, for instance, the functional resume and then the chronological resume. So you're able to get a couple of different choices in terms of how to present your material so it's most effective, depending on what your experience is and the job you're applying for. Let's talk about the purpose of your resume. Like we talked about, the purpose of the cover letter is to have the employer look at your resume. The purpose of the resume is going to be that the employer calls you in for an interview. So keep that in mind. The resume's job, again, is not to get you the job. The resume's purpose is to have you be called for an interview. So that's its job. And so you're going to want to make sure that you follow some different guidelines and things so that it's clear, easy to read, and it really highlights how you, again, fit the position that you're applying for. So that mantra that we talked about and introduced during the cover letter time is coming back to us in terms of what does the employer need and how do I fit that need. You're going to want to really keep that in mind when you're creating your resume as well as your cover letter. So there's not necessarily going to be one format that's successful for all jobs and all employers. So it's good to keep that in mind, that there's not necessarily a secret that you're missing for a resume. But there are some things to keep in mind so that the resume is easy to read and that the employer or the person reading it will spend a little more time looking through it to gain the information that you're trying to get across. So there are some kind of simple formatting type things that I mentioned in the beginning of the section that help you with general resume writing tips. One is going to be something that we discussed briefly in the cover letter and that you got to see a couple examples of, which was the heading that you use that includes your contact information. It's very important that this is clear and that your name is very nicely displayed so that they remember your name as they're looking through your materials. I do suggest, as mentioned in the cover letter section, that you use the same formatting for that contact information for your cover letter, your resume, and if you provide a reference sheet if you go in for an interview or have to send that, it's good to keep that consistent. Just one thing that I find is helpful is a lot of people have home numbers and cell phone numbers. Just include one number on that contact information. That's helpful to you so you know where the calls will be coming in. You don't have to check multiple voicemails to see if somebody called you back. And also, it just helps the employer to be more focused. Okay, they're making calls. Let's just call one number for this person and leave a voicemail or get in touch, and that's the way that they'll do it. It just kind of streamlines the process a little bit. The next thing you want to think about is the font type and size that you use. This is important because readability on a resume is very important. And so the type of font you use, there are a few different choices you can use. Make sure that the biggest criteria is make sure that it's readable, very easy to read. Different fonts sort of have different personalities with them, so you can think about what works best for you. Times New Roman is certainly the most often used, and it's the most neutral in terms of people don't have necessarily a lot of opinions about it. It's just kind of considered a standard font. So if you want to play it safe, you can go with Times New Roman. There's also Arial. That's a common font that can be used. It has a little colder of a feel, I find. So if you want to put that impression a little bit more, you can use that. And then Garamond has a little softer edge to it. But it's also it's a good font to use. It is readable, and you can use that font as well. It's a little bit smaller than Times New Roman, so you might want to up the font size if you are using Garamond. Also, when you think about size for the font in your resume, you'll want to mix up the sizes a little bit. So your name at the top is going to be the largest font that you have. And then you might choose that the different headings, summary of qualifications, education, experience, that those are a little larger font than the general descriptions that you use for the jobs. Or the job titles, you might use a little bit bigger of a font. You want to be a little bit creative with that. Don't go too crazy, but just a little bit creative so that it is nice to look at as you look at a resume. It's nice to look at something where certain things stick out for you, and you're easy to follow from sort of one section to another. In terms of the overall font size, when you're writing in the text, like the descriptions of your job or under summary of qualifications, when you're listing the different items, I find 11-point font is ideal. If you have the space, you can do 12-point font. And I do not suggest that clients go under a 10-point font. So please do not use a 9-point font or less. And 10-point is not really ideal. It's a little bit small, but it can pass. So if you find that in order to fit things onto the number of pages that you need, it needs to be a 10-point font, really ask yourself, are there things I can cut? Am I including too much here? And are there things I can cut so that the font can be a little bit bigger? And if not, go with the 10-point font. But like I said, 11-point font is more ideal. In terms of length of your resume, one or two pages is the standard. Unless you're in a profession where real long resumes or CVs are used, do keep your resume to no more than two pages. It used to be that the standard was a one-page resume, period, no going over that. That has changed. Two-page resumes are now very acceptable, but just don't go over the two pages. Keep in mind, too, that if you are going over the one page, so your information is going on to that second page, you don't want it to just fill up a quarter or a half of the page. You want it to fill at least three-quarters to the full page on that second side. It just looks cleaner and neater. And so if you find that you have just a little over one page, go ahead and cut things down so that it fits onto that first page. Play with the, whether it's the fonts that you play with, or the, you know, you can play a little bit with the margins and things so that you can get things to fit onto that page. Or maybe you'll have to take one or two small items out. But you don't want just to have a few couple of lines on the second page. And if you find that you have like a page and a half, so it would be too much to pare down to just one page, think about including some other items or making it a little larger font, putting a little more space between items so that it can stretch out to be more like the closer to the full two pages. It just looks nicer. Now let's talk about the sections that you'll include in your resume. This is going to vary depending on who you are, what your experience is, and what profession you're in. However, there are some basic sections that are included. The first is a summary of qualifications, and we're going to talk about this section in length in a little bit. Another section that's always included is your education. And thirdly, professional experience, work experience is also included. So these are the sections you're going to want to make sure that you have. And then there will be some other sections that you'll most likely include depending on who you are and what you're applying for. If, for instance, some volunteer experience that you've had fits with the position you're applying to or really helps to round you out as a candidate, go ahead and include that under the volunteer experience section. Also, if you have specific computer skills, you might have certifications, maybe you're CPR certified, or you've done certain professional development courses, you can include all of that under something called professional skills if you want to make that a section. Or if you just want to, if you're in a position, in a industry or going into a position where computer skills, for instance, are extremely important, you could have a section just for computer skills. Languages are also something that you can include under professional skills or as a separate section if it's very important to the work you're getting into. One of the sections that I no longer include for clients when I make resumes is an objective. An objective used to be something that was very common and often used, almost required in a resume, and that was just the section that said, you know, I am a whatever type of professional, I'm looking for this type of job. And I use summary of qualifications instead of an objective. I find that the objective really is often too generic sounding and doesn't really add a lot to what you bring as a professional to the position. And so I like to use the summary of qualifications instead of the objective for the first section of the resume. And you'll see that in the examples that I provide. So let's talk about the summary of qualifications and how that section works. It is a very important part of your resume. And it's going to be the section that changes the most from one resume to the next. And because you've already written your cover letter, or because you know now how to create a compelling cover letter, this will be very helpful in creating your summary of qualifications. You're going to decide, for your summary of qualifications, you're going to decide what to put there based on what you chose to put in your cover letter. So remember those 3 to 4 things that you listed in your cover letter that make you a good candidate for the job based on asking yourself the question, what does the employer need and how do I fill that need? You're going to choose those items to put in your summary of qualifications. You won't word them exactly the same, but you will sort of reiterate how well you fit the position in your summary of qualifications. Depending on if you do a functional or a chronological resume, that's going to change the length and the purpose of your summary of qualifications. So let's talk about the difference in those two types of resumes right now. Let's talk about the functional resume first. That's going to be a resume where your summary of qualifications is lengthy. It's going to provide the bulk of the experiences that you've had, whether they're volunteer, academic, or professional. So you'll list all of them, and you'll decide what goes into the list based on the job duties and requirements of the job you're applying for. So that's how the functional resume summary of qualifications portion works. After the summary of qualifications, you'll include either your education or your professional experience next. So with your education, you'll just list that. And then with the professional experience, you'll simply list where you worked, what company, what your job title was, the dates that you were there, and that can be all. You can also include the city and state that it was in as well. But you will not include a separate description of each job. And that's the big difference between the chronological and the functional. So then in the chronological resume, you will have a shorter summary of qualifications. It will just include, for instance, say those 3 to 4 things that you found in the cover letter that you chose to highlight. You can include those. It can even be as small as just 2 or 3 highlights. And then you can get into either professional experience or education. And in the professional experience section, you will list under each job, you'll list the descriptions of what you did. So that's the big difference again. You're going to have in the professional experience section of a chronological resume, you'll have the what you've done in each job. And I do provide an example of each type of resume at the end of the resume writing section, so you can take a look at how those look. In order to decide whether you'll do a functional or a chronological resume, the question is going to be your experience, your past experience, and how well does it fit the job that you're applying to. If you are a direct match from what your past experience has been to what you're applying for, then you can use a chronological resume. If, however, you're in a career transition, and your job titles from previous work does not directly correlate to the job that you're applying to, then a functional resume is a better idea. It's a better fit for you. because what you want to do in the functional resume is pull out what you've done in those positions that matches what you'll do in this next job that you're applying for. So what's really important here is that you're pulling out things that the employer might not see when they looked at what your job title was previously. They might think it has nothing to do with the job that they need filled. But you're, again, connecting the dots, like we talked about in the cover letter section. You're connecting the dots for the employer to show right up front, right away in your resume, what a good match and fit you are for their job. Okay, so that's where the functional resume is important. And as I mentioned, the end of the section includes the samples, one of each of those. Next, you'll decide what order to put the sections in your resume. So the biggest choice is just where does education and professional experience go, which one goes before the other. Because the summary of qualifications will always be at the top, right after your contact information. And then decide what goes next based on what most fits the job. So again, you're asking yourself whenever you have a question of what goes next or what to do next or how to put something in, you ask yourself, what does the employer need and how do I fit that need? So if your education is a direct match to what the employer is looking for, go ahead and put that next, and then professional experience after it. If, however, your education is not necessarily a big selling point for you to get the job, then put your education after your professional experience and let your professional experience shine. Remember that what you include more at the beginning of the resume has a higher chance of being read than what's included at the end. And so you'll make your decisions of what sections to include where based on how good of a fit you are for the job. The things that you fit better with for the job, you'll include first. When you're deciding how you're going to describe your professional experience, you want to keep in mind that more action-oriented words are better, and results are extremely helpful. Everything that you do in a job isn't always going to be able to be results-oriented. You won't always be able to quantify exactly what you've done or things like that, and some jobs are better for this than others, but wherever you can, it's helpful to show results. So if you say something, for instance, like we say in the workbook it's written, you say something like you increased your donor gifts by 35% yearly for 3 years, that's going to be more effective as a statement than you were responsible for receiving donor gifts. They both say a similar thing, but the one really helps to be results-oriented and quantify the success that you've had. So the more you can show your success in different positions, the better the impression will be for the employer. You always want to be truthful here, but you also just want to be honest about what success you've brought to previous positions, so what this employer can expect to get from you. So it's just another way to set you apart. Keep in mind, too, that the first 1 to 2 bullets written under a job, if you're doing the chronological format, the 1 to 2 bullets underneath a job title are going to be the ones that will be read most often. So keep those to be the ones that best fit the job you're applying for and also the ones that most clearly explain what you did in the job. So you want the detailed ones, those things more about everyday details. You'll keep those more at the bottom of the description. In talking about the education that you have that you bring to the job, there's one thing I really want to mention here, and that's the question of if you should include your graduation dates or not. So say you went to college and you graduated in 1992, do you include your graduation date? And that is a personal decision. You can include it or you don't have to. There's not a specific rule for resumes what you have to do, and there's not a certain expectation. So you can decide. And you can base your decision on what will help you the most. So if you're at all concerned that when someone looks at your resume that they'll think that you are too old for a position, if that's at all a concern for you, then I would suggest not including the years that you graduated if you graduated many years ago. If you went to school, say you got your bachelor's degree later in life, and you have a more recent graduation date, then go ahead and include it in your resume materials. It is illegal to discriminate based on age when you are choosing candidates. However, people can kind of calculate what they assume your age to be based on the graduation dates you put in your resume. So therefore, just keep that in mind with what would be most helpful for you to include in a resume. Would it be most helpful to have the years or not? And then decide if you want to include them or not. So as I mentioned, there are two sample resumes included in the workbook, and you can use these as examples for how to format your information and how to present it. And so they both have very common descriptions or very common headings that people use. So for instance, the first one, the one that is a functional resume, includes a summary of qualifications, education, professional experience, and volunteer experience. This is a one-page resume. It's quick and to the point, and you'll notice that the summary of qualifications is the lengthiest part. In this position, someone was moving from being in the security business and more law enforcement to go into HR recruitment positions. And so what we did here was pull out the experience that is most like what the experience that she gained from being in the security business that would most translate into a recruitment position. And the volunteer experience is included, so it makes her a more well-rounded candidate since her professional experience doesn't exactly match with the job she's applying for, and it all is in one area. It's nice to see that she has other skills and interests as, for instance, a photographer and a writer. You'll notice that there has been some creative touches, including the font and the size of different things. So the summary of qualifications, it's all in capital letters, and it's using the small caps option for every letter except for the first letter of the word. So that's just another way to make your resume look sharp. It does use a bulleted format, which is easy to read. It uses the horizontal line to separate sections, so it's really easy to see where one section begins and ends. And it uses some different features such as bold and italics in order to help break up the resume so that it is, as I mentioned, easy to read. The next resume is a chronological resume, and this includes a different section than the other resume has. This has the professional skills listed at the end. You'll notice, too, that because this resume goes on to the second page, it does have a part at the top that, like as a header, where it would say on the second page, you would put your name, you can put your full name or just your last name, and page two or continued. That helps if your resume, the second page gets separated from the first, you'll keep it together. That's also just a professional way to remind the person of whose resume they're looking at when they're on that second page. You'll notice in this chronological resume that the summary of qualifications is much shorter than it was in the functional resume. This is a very short, actually, and that's okay. It can be whatever was important to include in the cover letter. You can include here for the summary of qualifications. You can add some things or take them out depending on what you feel is most relevant for the resume portion. And then you'll notice for this position, the person is applying for a teaching position, and she has a lot of teaching experience. And so that teaching experience is highlighted and mentioned in the professional experience part. And then the professional skills are mentioned as well. And those include things like the computer skills, professional developments, certifications, and languages. Again, the font has been played with a little bit. It's a different font that does the that's used for the overall headings, such as summary of qualifications and education. It's a different font than what was used for the regular text. You can play with this to a point. You want it to still look very professional. You don't want it to get too out there, but you can play with it so that it's still tasteful but interesting to look at. Great. So now it's going to be your job to kind of translate these examples and the tips that you got here into your own resume. So go ahead and write down at the end of this section in the workbook, write down what your takeaways are and what's going to be helpful for you so that you're able to create a good resume that you feel confident sending out to employers. Thank you very much for listening. Again, my name is Darcy Holoweski. This is Audio 3 on resume writing for the Jumpstart Your Job Search Home Study Program with Create Your Career Path with HallieCrawford.com. Thank you again.